On immigration, there is a lot going on. Another round of talks in Congress, this one forced by House Republicans. This administration's zero tolerance policy, which is leading to family separation at the border. What do you want to see happen on immigration?
Yeah, the first thing is border security. We've said that over and over on the campaign trail. And the reality is that federal government's role is to make sure our borders are secure. And that means that not only when it comes to people wanting to cross the borders, but as to guns and drugs and human trafficking and other illegal activity, we need border security. And that is the first thing that I'd focus on as regards immigration. Second thing is improving legal immigration. And that includes any number of executive as well as legislative fixes. We need to make sure that those that want to come here, it's easier to come here legally than it is to come illegally. And that's where the border security comes in as one part of that. But also, we need a legal ordered process associated with immigration. Whether people want to come here and live here or they just want to come here and work, I think there's room for both. I'd finally say that my father and my grandfather, his dad, came across the border, and actually my dad's a naturalized American citizen. So I'm a first generation American on my dad's side, and I love immigrants and I want them to come here. The United States is a beacon to the world, and Utah is an outstanding state within this country. And I want to make sure people can come here as a first-generation American on my dad's side myself. Immigrants are the lifeblood of our society, but we need to make sure that it happens in an ordered fashion.
Well, what about people being separated from their children at the border? Do you buy into that argument that it's a deterrent?
That does disturb me. As a family doctor, I see the power that parents and children have working together, and I don't like moms and dads to be separated from their children. As to why that policy is in place, what the points behind that are, and whether or not there's a better way to do that, these are things that I would be very interested in finding out. But moms and dads and children, they should stay together.
I wanted to ask about your experience as a family doctor and how that informs your position on healthcare policy. You have said that you want to repeal the Affordable Care Act, which is something that Republicans have tried and failed to do a few times past year. Do you think that's a lost cause at this point?
It's actually failing under its own weight, number one. And number two, there are, with the rescission of the individual mandate, it does look like the Affordable Care Act is failing on its own and being helped along in the legislative process. And the fundamental for me is, yeah, I want people to have access to health care, but the idea that the federal government is best suited to deliver that health care, I disagree with that. I think our local communities, I think our state, have more than enough capacity to handle these things. We need to get the federal government out of the business of doing things like expanding Medicaid, which on multiple levels is a clunky system that does deliver care, but there are other ways to do it. And I'll just say, I donate my own time as a doctor at a voluntary care clinic in Provo in an effort to reach out to those that don't have insurance. There are many ways for us to make sure that people that don't have insurance have access that do not involve more federal overreach into our lives.
You've mentioned that you do support keeping in place protections for pre-existing conditions and maybe allowing younger people to stay on their parents' insurance. But how do you see that working out if the rest of the ACA is repealed?
It's a great question, and the answer is mostly market forces and state-based regulation. The reality behind the children staying on their parents' insurance until 26 years old, that is something that's been helpful. In the pre-existing conditions, I also see that as a policy change that does add cost to the process, but I had patients routinely rejected from access to insurance for benign conditions, an abnormal finding on a mammogram, for example, that made somebody unable to find access to insurance. That is not right. Even if somebody had a more serious condition like cancer, does that make it so they shouldn't have access to insurance? And so I think our society has taken a turn for the better on that in the form of policy decisions that would require pre-existing conditions to be covered. So I'm in favor of that. I think it's time we move that way. But government intervention in healthcare should be very limited. And that's just one example where I think it's useful.
You released a list of endorsements from about two dozen of your fellow lawmakers. And the Salt Lake Tribune reported that at least two of those lawmakers didn't authorize their name on an endorsement list for you. What happened there?
People throughout the campaign trail have done a variety of public endorsements and also private endorsements. And so what I did with that was I sent out a request to all those individuals that I thought would participate in that process. By the way, there are 20, and in this case, one has asked that their name be removed. So we're looking at 5% of the list. And I suppose it's good for the media to focus on the one in this case that wanted their name removed. But I would also say that that's 5%, and it's not something that I think reflects the fact that we have 19 others that are still happy to be on the list. And the reality is that the one hadn't checked his email, and he's on the ranch and has said we've gotten along really well and I've been privileged to be able to work with him, but he just didn't want to be on the list, and that's fine. We took his name off the list, but we've still got 19 others that stay on the list.
You're campaigning as the solidly pro-Trump Republican, and the most recent polling from Utah Policy this month shows President Trump's approval rating in Utah only at 47%. So why align your campaign with him?
Donald Trump, he's an enigma on multiple levels. I didn't know what we were getting when he came in as president. I've been really impressed with his performance, and frankly, I think this state, which was relatively lukewarm to President Trump's presidency when he came in, has converted. Why? The work product is truly reflective of conservative values. And so aligning myself with President Trump on multiple levels is a reflection of anybody that's going to move the conservative agenda forward that I'm in support of, I'd like to support them in doing that. When disagreements come up, I don't need to go public and denigrate people personally for the policies and opinions that they have. I think we can work together and try to move forward on agreements. And then when we disagree, we do so respectfully.
What was going through your mind last week when you watched this historic meeting between President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un play out in Singapore?
Yeah. So when it comes to, if you'd asked me a year and a half ago if there's any possibility that could happen, I would have said no, with a capital N-O. There's no way that would have happened, I would have thought. And especially when we had the inflammatory talk of my red button is bigger than your red button, and the talk was so inflammatory, it just seemed like we were moving more towards war than some sort of peaceful outcome. But it does reflect something about Donald Trump and his ability to negotiate with people, which is clearly skilled and almost instinctual in its capacity to move parties to where they need to be. So I'm proud of our president. It's not just good for the United States of America. It's good for the world that we are moving in this direction. World peace is something that we all would like to see closer rather than further away. And as we move beyond that historic summit into the nitty-gritty of determining what are the agreements that we need to have and how do we work forward, I'm just pleased to stand with the president and say I support him and what he's been able to accomplish and would love to help him move forward on those issues.
Some people have said that he conceded too much to North Korea for too little in return. Do you agree with that?
When you're in the arena fighting a fight, there are always those that sit on the outside in the spectator stand that will criticize the activities of those that are involved deeply in these processes. And I'd say, let the critics do it better. And the answer is that most of those critics have no capacity to move these issues forward. And when it comes to taking what we get, I'm pleased with where we're at. And I'd like to hopefully move forward and see that we continue to attain and move forward on this important step towards denuclearization and making sure that the world is a more peaceful place.
My last question is, Mitt Romney is very well known. He has connections. He has money. He's worked with people in Washington, D.C. He's even already talking about which committee assignments he'd like. How do you compete with that?
Thanks for that question. It's one that I've fielded multiple times before, and I'm pleased to answer just by saying I'm a regular person who comes out of poverty. I'm somebody who's clawed my way forward in life and have had an opportunity to attain some useful skills that I believe the people of Utah will find useful as their representative and servant in the U.S. Senate. As a doctor, as an attorney, as a state legislator, I don't need a visitor's guide to understand this state. I've lived here and worked here. I've raised my family here and built my small business here. And I love the state and I love the people of Utah. And how do I compete with that? It's the same sort of thing that anybody that is offering their services to a people would be able to market is just, I am what I am, and I would love to serve the people of Utah. Money doesn't vote, people do, and I believe the people throughout this state recognize that I am somebody at 49 years old that could serve them really well in that position. We've had a lot of deep-seated interest in this campaign for multiple reasons, and we're honored to be a part of this democratic process to make sure that the people have a real choice. And this the choice that the people have in me is somebody that would serve them, I think, remarkably well in the U.S. Senate, and I'd be honored to have the people of Utah support as I pursue this U.S. Senate seat.
State Representative Mike Kennedy, Republican candidate for U.S. Senate. Thanks.
Thank you.